Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia. That's what the disciples wanted to say, but they didn't know how. They didn't have it in them. All that filled their hearts was sorrow and grief and fear. All that filled their minds were the horrible images of that day. An abused friend, a crucified and dead Savior, and the thoughts of the Jews out there right now looking for them next. So there was no joy for them. No alleluias they could utter. Only silence as they sat behind locked doors. The ceiling of the doors, though nothing compared to the ceiling of hopelessness and despair in their hearts and minds. And minute after minute, hour after hour, it just got worse. Nathaniel, double check the windows, will you? Make sure they're locked. The women had come back with a report that Jesus was risen, but they just chalked that up to emotion and wishful thinking. Andrew, check the door again. They'd have to go out sometime. They were getting hungry. How could it end this way? The fear Peter had felt before when he denied was multiplied now. And they all felt it. Talk about a nightmare turning into real life. Perhaps you understand the disciples. Perhaps you've been there. Like we considered last week with the women, wanting to say alleluia, wanting to praise the Lord, but not being able, not knowing how. Fear and trembling, locking the door of your heart and filling your mind with horrible thoughts of what could be. Worst case scenarios. And as far as you can tell, no end in sight. Wishing things could be different, wondering why things are happening and where the heck is God when you need Him. When you really, really need Him. That's a tough place to be. But just as Jesus was exactly where He needed to be for the women, so He is exactly where He needs to be for His disciples and for us. Just as we heard last week that He needed to be on the cross and He needed not to be in the tomb, so He needed to be next in that room with His disciples. And so He is. He appears among them seemingly out of nowhere. The doors still locked. The windows still locked. But they are no longer alone. There is Jesus. And they are frightened, uncertain, questioning, unsure of what is going to happen next. Well, what happened next was the Word of God. Seeing Jesus didn't bring the disciples the relief they needed. When they saw Him before walking on the water, they thought it was a ghost. Maybe this was too. How else could He have gotten through locked doors? And why was He there? Was He angry with them for denying and running away? Was he going to chastise them? Haunt them? No, none of that. Peace be with you, he says. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Peace, not anger. A real body, not a ghost. The same body with the holes and everything, but it was different too. The scars, not his shame, but his glory. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. It was him. The women were right. Alleluia. They could say it. Finally. Their sorrow shattered and their fear banished by his preaching of peace. The same voice that had filled them with such hope and life before was now doing it again. The same voice that had raised the dead was now doing it again, raising them. He was not dead. No, death was dead. And their hearts, once so full of hope and then crushed, were now filled to overflowing again. Jesus did it. Jesus won. Alleluia. And that same peace and life is for you as well. Jesus intends it not only for the disciples locked up in the room that night, but for all whose hearts and minds are locked in fear and worry, locked from the truth, locked up by sin and death. For he sends his disciples with this same word of peace. He gives them his Holy Spirit and he commissions them. They are now no longer disciples, followers. They are now apostles, sent ones. And so after their happy reunion, he says it again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me into the world and to you, even so I am sending you into the world and to all people." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." And so that same peace and life, that same forgiveness and life won by Jesus in his death and resurrection that had unlocked and opened the hearts and minds of the disciples and set them free is here today for you as well. For you too have heard the proclamation, the preaching of this word. You too have been baptized and given this life. You too have heard the word of absolution given to you. The Holy Spirit has been given to you through the word and breathed into you. Then that gives you the ability too to say, Alleluia. That you too know and believe that the victory of Christ is your victory too. Even in a world still filled with sin and trouble and death. For notice, nothing really changed for the disciples in the world. The Jews were still out there. The Romans were still out there. The danger and hatred were still out there. And yet in Christ, everything had changed for the disciples. We heard that in the reading from Acts. Nothing could stop them. The Jews threatened them. They threw them in prison. It didn't matter. In Jesus, they were forgiven. In Jesus, death was defeated. In Jesus, even crucifixion had been overcome. What could men, what could even the devil do to them now? Christ Jesus lay in death's strong bands, but now at God's right hand He stands and brings us life from heaven. Life, forgiveness, and confidence. So like for the disciples, maybe for you too, nothing has really changed in the world. Your troubles and struggles, fears and uncertainties go on. At work, at home, in your families, at school. Maybe it's your health or the health of someone you love. Maybe it's about something that happened in the past or something looming in the future. And they're not little things. They're real. And sometimes they choke the alleluia right out of you. Or drown it in a tsunami of worry and make you lock things up tight because you don't want to get hurt again. You don't want to get your hopes dashed again. The temptation to give in to despair and doubt, hopelessness and fear can be quite heavy. But just as neither a sealed tomb or locked doors could stop Jesus, so too does He now come to you in His word of life to give you hope and life in a world of sin and trouble and death. Consider the Apostle John. We heard from him today. He was locked in that room with the others. He was also later in the midst of more struggles and trials. As we heard, he was imprisoned in exile on the island called Patmos. He knew the fear of that night. He had been thrown into prison. He had suffered at the hands of the Jews for preaching the word, and he had endured the news of all his fellow apostles dying horrible deaths. He was the only one left. Life had been and was pretty rough for John, as maybe it is for you. And yet we heard from John today what he hears and what he wrote and what he preached. So wondrously of this victory that is ours, even when it doesn't feel like it or seem like it. So Jesus said through him to you today, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was to come, the Almighty, nothing beyond His reach, nothing beyond His power, no time beyond His presence. He is the one who has the keys of death and Hades. The keys to unlock and set you free from whatever is holding you down and holding you in. His face is like the sun shining in full strength to cut through the darkness of this world and life. Fear not, He says, for I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Alive for you. Alive to give you His victory. Alive to give you alleluia. And He does. And He did to Thomas as well. Thomas, the latecomer, Thomas, the doubter, Thomas, whose heart was locked up as tight as that room that night. Jesus came to him too, forgave him too, and held out his body to him, that he not disbelieve, but believe. And that's what Jesus does for you here as well. His word is here. His absolution is here. And now he will hold out his body to you too. But he will not invite you to touch it, but to eat it and drink it, which is better. For with the eating and drinking of the Lord's true, once crucified but now risen body and blood, comes the promise Jesus has attached to such eating and drinking: the forgiveness, the life, and the freedom he has provided for you. Freedom from the prisons of doubt and fears and worries and troubles that keep trying to lock you up and hold you down. That you be among those blessed who have not seen and yet have believed. For you have heard. You heard your word, his Lord, and his promises. That word that gave you a freeing alleluia, just as it did to the women and to the disciples. Alleluia, even in the midst of the troubles of life that go on. For you have the one greater than all troubles. Maybe it's better to say, he has you. So no matter where you are or what you are going through, he's been there for you. And he's here for you. And now, having breathed on you and given you his spirit and life, he sends you out as well into the world to others, to those around you, those he has given to you to serve in all the callings of your life, to live your alleluia, to free them with forgiveness, to fill their ears with the good news and their hearts with hope and their minds with the word of truth. That, as we prayed earlier, that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may, by your grace, confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. That in this battle, in this world and life, he has the last word. And that word is life. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.